If you ask a devout Christian whether they love the truth or not, the unvarying answer will be yes. I love the truth. Jesus tells us that if we abide in His Word, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The value of truth is that it makes us successful, it makes us honorable, and it shows God that we are a people of integrity and honor and a desire to always fulfill what is just, what is right, what is fair and equitable, and therefore, what is true. But sometimes we all know the truth is costly. Sometimes the truth will cost you and I, our friends and family. It will cost us possibly a job. Paul said, when I learned the truth, I suffered the loss of all things. Now, how did that happen? Well, Paul found himself face to face with the fact that he was wrong. And by fixing what was wrong, it was very costly to him. Many people will not pay that price. They will talk about their love for the truth. But when it comes time to show God our love for the truth, with some sacrifice or another, it becomes very difficult. And so as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. The sad reality of the world we live in today is that we have testimony in multitudes of different religious organizations in the world today, that those who don't really love the truth will do exactly what this is saying. And so the question that I'd like to ask each one of us is very simple. Has this ever come to you? In the midst of a sermon, in the midst of a Bible class, in the midst of reading the scriptures, we come upon an inconvenient truth. A truth that will cost us. Maybe our friends and family. Maybe our job. It will cost us dearly. Now, for a few days, a few years, a lifetime, or maybe just for a few seconds, we flirt with compromise. I don't want to have to give this up. Is there any way that I can continue to hold my integrity, that I can continue to look at myself in the mirror and see in that mirror a man or a woman who truly loves the truth and will pay any price? What do I do? Well, we all love the truth until it costs too much. Let's read about a man who came face to face with that. A certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." Well, this man is just busting his buttons. I've done all that. I love the truth. I want to hear more. All these things I've kept from my youth. These made sense because he wanted to do them. It didn't cost him anything. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Now, Jesus wouldn't have said this if he didn't detect some covetousness in this man's heart. Because many people who are wealthy can serve the Lord. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful. Jesus told him the truth. But it was a truth that was going to cost him more than he was willing to give. And so now he's in a bind. He's in a difficult set of circumstances. And the reason I put this here is because I've been here before, and I'm sure you've been here before. You hear a verse, and you've never seen it before, and it hits at the very heart of something you love or something that makes up a vital part of your life. He became sorrowful because he had to see himself in a different light now. I suspect he knew what Jesus said was true. Why would he be sorrowful? Why wouldn't he just say, I've come to the wrong man. You don't have any answers at all. No, he knew. But he couldn't pay the price. He lost his integrity that day. He lost his self-respect. He lost his ability to see himself as an honorable individual. Now, we see this all the time. We hear about it. We read about it. People that become traitors to their country. People who sacrifice their allegiance to their family or their friends in order to get something they want. And so, I suspect that we've all felt that sorrow. Entertainment. Some of our entertainment won't... Well, let me rephrase this. Some of the entertainment coming out of the television will not pass the standard of truth. You can't watch it. But we've all had that sinking feeling when we find out, I've been a drinker my whole life, or I love to gamble, or I like watching these violent TV shows, or I enjoy immodesty, or the jealousy and envy and faction that you have on these soap operas. It draws me in. I like it. Maybe my job, maybe I'm a bartender, maybe I'm a prostitute, maybe I am somebody who is doing something that I got to give it up. Leisure time. Some people don't want to give every service. I mean, what are we talking about? 2.5 hours Sunday morning, 1 hour Sunday evening, 1 hour Wednesday night? What a terrible sacrifice, but some people, even though they know they should do it, hobbies, spending money, time, marriage and family, love your father or mother. How many people have been brought face to face with the fact that they don't have the right to be married to the person they're married to? And now it's going to cost them. We've all seen situations. My son-in-law had a problem with this a few weeks ago. He found out that he was teaching someone, they were ready to be baptized. He asked them about their marital status, and she was in an unscriptural marriage. It's a sinking feeling in your heart when you see that a scripture crashes into your life. What do we do? Well, we have two choices. We make the sacrifice. We feel like a dirtbag. We feel like somebody who is no longer a good person. Or we find a fable. We find a church that will tell us, or a preacher that will tell us, it's okay. But you know something? That's just a compromise. It doesn't matter what people tell us. It's what's in the book that matters. So, but a fable is still a fable. So, we become ripe with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. If we really love the truth, brethren, there will be no sacrifice that we won't be willing to make. To be right with God, to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God says, those who worship me must worship in spirit and truth. God says, buy the truth and do not sell it. But that's the biggest problem, isn't it? Sometimes you have to sell the truth. If you want to keep something, like that rich young ruler. I want my hobby. I want my job. I want my television programs. I want my alcohol. I want my this. I want my that. But when people leave the truth, there's always a reason. Something costs more than they want to pay. In the lust of the flesh, in the lust of the eyes, in the pride of life, in relationships. So the driving force behind idolatry, people worship another god so they can do what they want to do. You don't just decide, I'm going to serve another god. I'm going to go to a different church. That isn't what people do. What happens is that they look at the scriptures and they find something that they don't want to do, and then they can make the conclusion and they find somewhere else. Denominations are people who leave the Lord's church so they can reject one or more of Jesus' commands. And people reject worshiping God because they want to reject God's commands. People today reject inspiration so they can do what the Holy Spirit through the apostles forbids, but they can do it. So Paul was just a man. And so was Peter, and so was James. They don't realize they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote all of those words. But they want to separate the writer from the power behind the writer so they can go onward and abide not in the teachings of Christ. And of course, once you start down that road, it goes on and it goes on, and we drift further and further and further from the truth. Look at the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, at one time, was the Lord's Church. And then through a series of compromises and modifications and desires to set aside the truth in order to get what they want or to do what they want, they became an organization full of myths and full of fables. So the driving force away from truth is men who suppress the truth. You don't have to be baptized because the Bible teaches faith only. Well, what about those 30 or 40 verses on baptism? Well, those don't matter because, and then they suppress the truth. Or people today, you don't have to worry about the scriptures because evolution teaches us that there is no God, and therefore there are no rules, and therefore there is no truth. There's nothing to be worried about. Do whatever you want to do, because truth, you know something, brethren, if there's no life after death, then there's no such thing as truth, because it doesn't make any difference. If once you die, everything stops, we could do whatever we want. But the reason people exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator is because, fill in the blank, whatever it is you want to do. People that want to give themselves to sexual immorality, people that want to give themselves to financial gain, or whatever it is. So our greatest challenge is to abide in the words of Jesus Christ, or what we would call the New Testament scriptures. Now, there are many truths in the scriptures that don't fit with what I like or what I do. Paul had the same problem. So did the apostles. Most of those people in Acts chapter 2 had to give up something to become a Christian. Everyone has to give up something to become a Christian. The question that we have to ask ourselves is very simple. Because you know something? Everyone has a love for the truth. Some of the time, or maybe even most of the time. When it pleases them, when it benefits them, when it helps bring success. But what about when it's costly? I don't know what happened with Philip under the fig tree. It's a very interesting conversation. But Jesus saw whatever happened under the fig tree, and he said to Philip, or was it Nathaniel? Sorry, mental block there. An Israelite in whom there is no guile. Here's a man who loves the truth. Here's a man who will sacrifice for the truth. Nathaniel said, how do you know? How do you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, Philip knew something happened under that fig tree that would have cost him something in some way or another to hold the truth or to fully be transparent on this particular issue. I want to be like Philip. Because the Lord's watching all of us. He knows if we have any guile. He knows if we're in a set of circumstances where a lie is going to work better in our favor than the truth. Or a compromise will work better for us. Or, and here's the thing. And Here's the thing. Well, there we go. Lost that thing there. Lost my train of thought, too. Here's the important element of this. I talk about it almost every time I finish a sermon. If you don't do something with this information right now, you're going to forget. And you know something? Most of us like to willfully forget. If I hear something in a sermon that I don't want to do, but I don't want to feel bad about myself and I don't want my conscience to bother me, the quickest thing and the best thing I can do is forget that scripture's in there. But that's a very dangerous thing. You know, it's interesting though, because truth matters no matter what the cost. If I'm accused of a crime and I know I'm innocent, and this witness over here, if he would just testify for me, but if he does, it's going to cost him something. I want him to pay the price. If I'm in the hospital and a doctor misdiagnoses my case, I want him to admit the truth, even though it might damage his credibility. In the pharmacy, in the restaurant, in the manufacturing, in sports, we could go on and on, in banking, in stocks. We all love the truth because it benefits us. If I'm not guilty, it benefits me. If I'm guilty, then I don't want the truth because it won't benefit me. So the interesting thing about truth is that we all love it when it's a benefit to us, when it'll bring us success, when it will cause us or keep us from making a mistake. I want that doctor, if I have to have surgery on my left hand, I want him to put an X on my left hand because I don't want him doing anything with my right hand. It's fine, thank you. I want him to know the truth. Then I come, sit in the pew on Sunday morning, and the preacher is reading right out of the Bible, and that one I don't want. That rich man didn't want that truth. So truth matters when only one thing. Have you ever gotten up and grabbed the keys off of, but you grab the wrong keys and you get outside and, man, that key won't fit? Well, it's my keys, yeah, but it's the wrong car. It's a mistake. You didn't submit to the truth. When only one thing will work, when we won't make mistakes, when we can save time and money, but does it matter to us when it pleases God? And I guess really, brethren, at this point in the lesson, what I'd like for all of us to do is think about how much we love the truth in this realm, and maybe how little we do in another realm. You know, God can see through that. God knows better than we do. And so, when it matters most, like Adam and Eve, they did not love the truth. God had told them the truth. Cain did not love the truth. Noah did, but the ancient world didn't. Because as Jesus points out, the truth will make us free. You know what I find interesting is that a scientist or an engineer or a banker or a doctor will work all week loving the truth, seeking God's exact standards in the material realm so that things will work out and they'll be right. Then they go to worship with absolutely no interest at all in God's exact standards. So a pharmacist or an inventor is working with electricity, with physics, with chemistry, with various aspects, And he knows, until I get this in harmony with the truth, I'll never get a light bulb. Until I get this harmony with the truth, I'll never get a computer. So all week he is working and struggling and striving to find the truth. And then that same person sits down and reads the Bible and doesn't even care about the truth. But God expects us to love his truth in the spiritual realm as much as we love his truth in the material realm. Because truth matters with God. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you know what must be the most disappointing to God? Is when he brings the truth to someone, and like that rich young ruler, the person goes away sorrowful because it costs too much. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then, brethren, if any one of you among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, I read verses like this and it causes my heart to soar because I love the truth. And I get direction. God wants me to come to a knowledge of the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. I want to spend the same effort going through the scriptures as Thomas Edison did, trying to find the element necessary for a successful light bulb. I want to spend as much time trying to properly discern the scriptures as the people today do to be successful in their fields. Because I know how important it is to God. So here's some areas where we kind of love the truth. If you give someone a $50 bill, or, you know, when I wrote this, first did this sermon, a $20 bill meant something. Let's make it a $100 bill now. Because you might get changed for $20 and say, well, what's the big deal? You know, it's just a few dollars. Dollar bills don't mean. But somebody gives $100 and he wants to get $90 back. Now, I'm going to watch. I want to make sure that those 20s and 10s equals $90, because I love the truth when it comes to my money. And when I'm balancing my checking account, I don't want to bounce a check, so I love the truth. When a police officer is behind me, I love the truth on the speed limit. What about you? You're looking everywhere. What's the speed limit? I don't even know what the speed limit is. What do I do now? Well, you should have loved the truth before that guy came behind you. The doctor is assessing me. I want him to find the truth. I got this symptom. I don't know what's going on. I want you to fix it. Well, he can't fix it unless he figures out what the problem is. Taking prescription medicine. You ever get up in the middle of the night and go to your medicine cabinet with 15 different bottles and just say, well, this must be the one, and take it? Or are you going to look and see, what am I taking here? Cooking. The recipes, sewing, cutting out material. Or even when a foul is called against your team. Boy, you're riveted on that replay. You want to figure out exactly what the truth is. Did his foot cross that line or not? I'm really interested. But what about here? Do we have the same intensity as we read through the scriptures every day to make the same application so that God can say, I see how much you can love the truth, and I'm so happy to see you putting the same effort into the scriptures. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a genuine love for truth. Pretty basic as you look through these scriptures. But you know something? Until it's going to cost you something, you really don't know. All of us will do what we know is right if it's in our best interests. It's when it's not in our best interests, when it's going to cost us something. Satan is the only one who enjoys it when we don't tell the truth or live the truth or want the truth. So this opens up a vista for you and I to really see ourselves clearly the way God sees us. When I look at how I do everything else, how meticulous I am in every other area of my life, wanting to be right, wanting the truth, so I don't make mistakes, I don't embarrass myself, I don't fail. And then we come into the spiritual realm and you see people who have absolutely no care whatsoever. But you know, God is watching us, and it's pretty obvious to Him when we're more interested in truth that benefits us than we are in truth that benefits Him. So He tests us to find out. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. You know, when Jesus asked that man that question, He knew. He was putting him into a position where he had to flunk or pass. He tested that man's heart. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You know, when we stand before God on the judgment day and we start telling God how, you know, Lord, I did the very best I could. I know I didn't get this truth quite right, but I was trying. And He says, well, here's what you did over here on your job, and here's what you did over here when you were dealing with this particular issue that was going to cost you something, and here's what you were doing over here. It's like that engineer. As I said earlier, the engineer spends all week looking at the chemistry and the physics and everything that he needs to get that wing right or to get that bridge so it won't fall, and then he comes to services on the first day of the week and worships God, even though God says in spirit and truth, he doesn't know what the truth is and he doesn't care. And you think to yourself, how could people be so, what's the word we want, careless? Hypocritical? Not interested? But you know, it's a ever-repeating cycle. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In the first century, it revolved around the things that were important to them. In the 18th century, it revolved around things that were important to them. Today, it revolves around things that are important with us. Any fables in your life? Any scriptures that you just can't see clearly because you don't want to? With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. In other words, there's always a fable out there for you to hang on to. If you don't like what the Lord said about a cappella singing in the church, that we speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, if you don't like that, you can find a fable. They did it in the Old Testament. How many times have we heard people just completely wave away the truth with a fable? And they're strongly deluded. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. That rich young ruler knew the truth. That truth could have made him free. And I hope, I suspect, I'd be very shocked if he didn't become a member of the church. He had so many good things. I'm sure after he left, he pondered and he thought about it, and he could see the truth of what the Lord said, and hopefully he changed his mind. Because that's what I said earlier. Sometimes we won't submit to the truth, but then after we think about it a little bit, we go ahead and do it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. So no matter what the cost here and now, you think about how much you're going to regret it for all eternity. Can you imagine almost but lost this one thing that I could have given up? But it cost me something, but it was the truth. You're going to be happy throughout all eternity if you do it, and you're going to regret it. So when your ears start to itch, then crush it, because your flesh is trying to get you to do something that's contrary to the truth. And so, brethren, as we prepare now to leave, prepare now to end this sermon, what are we going to do with this information? Do we need to do anything? Did your heart prick you at all during the course of this lesson? Or were you able to say in all good conscience, everything I heard today fits perfectly with the kind of person I am, and by God's grace I never have, and I hope I never will, and I pray and I plead with God that I will never compromise what I know is right because of the cost. And so as we pick up our song of encouragement, number 285, you need to do anything? Need to make any changes? Need to make that final step and ask God to forgive you and promise, I'm going to pay the price. I want to be of the truth. I want to buy the truth. I want to be right with God. If we can help you in any way this morning as we sing this song, either to be baptized into Christ, to become a Christian, or to confess your sins one to another, we give you that opportunity right now while we together stand and sing.